Well, praise the Lord. Here we are, Feast of Tabernacles, 2010. And I just started the recording, and now I'm starting the video. I say Shabbat Shalom and also Happy Feast of Tabernacles. Would you mind standing? We ask the Lord to bless this. I'm not going to be here long. I just want to go over a few points. Yes, let's blow the trumpet. Go right ahead. I'll sit down.
Happy Sukkot.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Happy Sukkot. Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, I pray before we even come before your throne, you always wash us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, Lord and God. I know you see us, you watch us, you know all about us. You know every thought in our minds and our hearts. I praise and thank you tonight, Lord and God. I always ask you to cover us, Lord, and I thank you for forgiveness of sins. We're just dust and ashes, Father. I pray that you'll help us down here on this planet. Lord and God, direct us, lead us, guide us, and be with us. We thank you, Lord and God, for another Sabbath, for the Feast of Tabernacles again. The only thing that saddens us, Lord, that we're not with you for this tabernacle. Lord, but we're here rehearsing it again to make this world know that you are a living God and you have your feasts. Bless everyone that's with us today and people on the internet and people around the world that are not with us today that keep your holy Sabbath and your Feast of Tabernacles on the right day. And we follow the Rosh Chodesh and we keep your calendar. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this day, this week, this feast. In Yeshua's name, teach us new things. Bless all the readings we do. Bless everything, and let it be to the glory of the living God and to the edifying of the body. Bless everyone here. I pray you touch everyone that's sick and afflicted. Take away every pain, every affliction. I pray you give us the peace of the Lord in our minds and our consciences and our hearts and souls, Lord and God. I pray, Lord and God, you'll be with us tonight. Show forth yourself, Lord and God. I pray you'll send forth an angel. Direct us, lead us, send forth the word of the Lord in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. And let me put up the study. I just have a quick study today. If you have your... Let me just put this like this. Let's see. I better put my glasses on for this. Let me see. Okay, let's see if that works. Not found. Of course not. I already knew that wasn't going to work. Let's see here. So what we need to do is go back here and go here. And we just need to copy this to the site above. And we put that right up there, and that should work. There it is. Okay, that's what we're going to read tonight. For everyone that's online, this is it's just a quick website. We're not going to be here long tonight. I just wanted to go over a few points and maybe some things that you heard and some things you're not sure of. We are Kahal Chad by Mashiach. That's One of Messiah Congregation, Adat Yisrael. And tonight is Chag HaSukkot. And that's plural. It's actually Sukkah means singular, but we all have a sukkah, but a sukkot is tabernacles, plural. But it's also Happy Feast of Ingathering, and that's Chag HaAsif, okay? And what I like about this is to think about one day, it's going to be the final ingathering at the end of the world. God's going to send forth his angels and gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. So the Feast of Ingathering, Tabernacles, is at the end of the year, and that means we're going towards the end of the year, even though we're in the seventh month. One thing for sure, you guys should know by now, we're not in the new year, okay? It's going towards the end of the month. Exodus 23:16 says, the Feast of Harvest, and then the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in thy field, and the Feast of Ingathering is what we're doing, which is at the end of the year. Okay, there it is right there. It says at the end of the year. So the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, starts tonight at sundown, at even. And, of course, it goes from the 15th to the 22nd. And for everyone's benefit, I'm really happy that this year everything's on the Sabbaths, so there's and it's not catching anyone by surprise. But it starts on September 25th. That's, you know, and it goes to the October 2nd. Okay, so it's from Sabbath to Sabbath. Leviticus 23:34 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 15th day, which is right now, of the seventh month, praise the Lord, you shall be at the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work therein." That's the Mikra Kodesh right there, a holy convocation. We'll be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and we're not going to do any civil work. That's Melechet Avodah. And that means tomorrow, during the daytime hours, we're going to be building our sukkah, just like it tells us right here. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And on the eighth day, we're going to have another holy convocation, which is a Mikra Kodesh, a sacred assembly. And it says we shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. It's a solemn assembly. It's atzeret. Atzeret means a special assembly. And of course, we're not going to do any kind of work. That's what it says right there. And there's the word atzeret right there, in case you want to know what a solemn assembly is in Hebrew. This should be holy day instead of holiday. But it's a special assembly, you know. And there's the Mikra Kodesh, in case you don't know what it is. This is all on my website. You can always click on my website, and it's right there. Print it out yourself. Or, you know, that's what those are. But here's what we're going to be doing, and just to make it very clear. Leviticus 23, verse 39, okay? You can just follow your Bible or follow me. It says, "Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall," and here's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. It says, "And you shall take on the first day," that's Yom HaRishon, tomorrow, the first day, it's the daytime hours. "We're going to take boughs of goodly trees," we got plenty here, "and branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And we're going to rejoice before Jehovah, our God, 7 days." Praise the Lord. "And you shall keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." So it's not the end of the year. It's the seventh month. And it's Ha'ethanim. It's not Tishrei. "And you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths." And according to the Bible, you know, we're born again into the Israel of God. So no matter who you are, now you're joining the Israel of God. You're Israelite born, okay? That's exactly what that is. That it says that and this is why we're doing it, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am Jehovah your God. And of course, Moses is a servant of God. He declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of Jehovah. Like, a lot of people don't know God has his own feasts, because we're so used to doing Pope Gregory's feasts. And it's a shame that I pray that my little ministry goes on and on and on and on, and our website lasts, because so many people still don't even know about God has his own feasts and his own anything. It's very sad. But we're going to be doing this tomorrow. On the first day, we're going to take branches of goodly trees. So, is everybody clear on that? Okay. Now, here's what I want you to watch out for. Watch out for Judaism and many Messianic groups that add to the word, okay? Judaism has made such a big deal about the four species in Judaism. It's nowhere in the Bible, four species, and that's all made up, because it's ridiculous. And here's what Judaism and a lot of Messianics are talking about: the Etrog, the Citron, and the Lulav, and the Hadas, and the Arava, and the Etrog is held separately. It's all made up. And they make such a big deal about the lulav and the ethrog. The three branches are bound together and referred to collectively as the lulav. Okay, so this is what Judaism does, and the lulav, which check this out, which central pillar is referred to as the backbone, resembles the backbone of man. See how they just make things up. The leaves of the myrtle branches, the hadas, represents the eyes of man. No, it doesn't. And the leaves of the willow branch, the arava, represents the lips of man. Is that made up or not? But and the ethrog represents the heart of man. Now, I'm seriously, I feel it doesn't say that in the word. It's all made up in traditional la-la land, okay? And there's the ethrog represents the heart, the seat of our emotions. The hadas, the myrtle, has leaves shaped like eyes. The lulav, the date palm, represents the spine from whence our actions emanate. And blah, 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 all this stuff. That's the reason why I'm showing you this is because so many messianics are just copying Judaism. And none of that, it says nothing like that in the word. There's no mitzvah, that means commandment, of a lulav. And they hold it up there and they wave it around and they go, I'll just read it to you. With the four species in hand, the Jews recite a blessing and wave the species in six directions. They do it east, south, west, north, and up and down to symbolize that God is everywhere. The four species are also held during the Hallel prayer. That's another made-up prayer because there's no set prayers. Set prayers are like in Catholicism and Protestants and Judaism and other religions. And each day during the Sukkah, there are special processions in the synagogue around the Torah, and the ethrog and the lulav are held during these processions called Hoshanas, because during the procession, a prayer with the refrain, Hosanna, please save us, is recited. See how, I mean, believe me, this is so made up. You know what they even say? I didn't even put this down for you, but they say during the Feast of Tabernacles, if your tabernacle is really spiritual, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will come and visit you in your tabernacle. And that's like, what? That's ridiculous. And they have all kinds of spiritualist, and it sounds like New Age stuff. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is, please don't do any of that stuff. Just follow the Bible. Now for the truth. You ready for the truth? Look how I put down, here's the scriptures, what the scripture says. It's so simple. Forget all that stuff. Exodus 23:40, you shall take on the first day, boughs of goodly trees. Does anyone not understand what that means? It says branches of palm trees, if you have any, and branches of thick trees, if you got any. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you have to go find each one of these. It says, and willows of the brook, if you have a brook with willows. And you shall rejoice before the Lord, but Jehovah your God 7 days. I mean, that's how simple the Bible is, the scriptures. It's not all that lulav and the citron, who's got the biggest one and all this kind of stuff. And it's like ridiculous. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone is on the same page. Nehemiah 8:15 says the same basic thing, that it says, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch, the same thing, olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of thick trees, to make booths as it is written. And of course it was written in Leviticus, okay? So that's in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 15, okay? So it's the same thing. There it is in Hebrew, too. So all I can say is build your sukkah tomorrow on the first day during the daytime hours of the 25th of September, or the 15th of, it's the 15th of Ha'aviv, I mean Ha'etanim. And Lord willing, we'll be here at the congregation at 2 o'clock after we build everything and get everything going, and then we'll have a nice study, okay? Now, tonight, we're not going to keep you here long, but does anyone have any questions or anything you would like to say about what I just said? So I'm going to open the room. I want to make sure we're not following Judaism. We're not following messianics that follow Judaism, but we are following the Torah and the scriptures. Anybody have anything to say or come to the mic? I'm going to leave the video on and I'm going to leave the study on. So come right up and talk, please. Go right up. Okay, Sister Nicole is coming up. So come on up, Sister Nicole.
I was just wondering if you can hear me.
Yes, we hear you.
I was just looking in the scriptures, and apparently it says, and I am the Lord God, No, hang on, it's the wrong one.
Go right ahead. Okay, well, we'll wait for you to come back, but this is all being recorded. So I'm going to say, anyone else have any questions or comments or anything that you're mixed up on or anything that you're not sure of? Or and the reason why we're building a sukkah, you should all know, just like I read to you, if somebody walks up to you and says, "What in the world are you guys doing, putting up this sukkah?" You're saying that the generations may know how God brought us out of the land of Egypt and preserved us in the wilderness, and put the branches over us because it symbolizes He's the branch of the Lord. And tomorrow we'll go through a whole study on that. But and we're doing it because of we're looking back, but we're also doing it because we want God to preserve us in our wilderness, known as our lifespan. And we put the branches over the sukkah, the booth, because the branch of the Lord wanted to cover us. And then we're also looking forward. One day we hope we're going to tabernacle with the Lord. That's why we're rehearsing this. This is called a Hag Haggag. In other words, something that goes around in a circle, and it's something that goes around every year until it ends one day, and we do it for real with the Lord. And that's why we're doing it. So we all have the understanding of why we're doing it. It's just not building a tent in our backyard or on our roof or wherever you got. But you have to have the understanding why you're doing it. So there's three reasons: one from the past, one from the present, and one from the future. And you should have that all recorded in your mind. And we'll go over again tomorrow in detail. Come on up there, Brother Joe. Okay, Joe and Nicole are having a hard time. Yes, we hear you louder. Okay, talk.
Everyone here.
Yes.
My question, Malachi, is if I have no tent, I have no means. If I have no tent, would gathering, collecting branches be in obedience?
If you have no tent, I don't know what you're talking about. What would you gather branches for if you have no tent? What are you going to do with them? I don't. You're trying to say where you live, you have no, there's no area, no facility, or no way to do it. Is that what you're trying to say? Well, we have a veteran here from the army. He said you can make a lean-to. You can lean branches against something and build a sukkah or build some kind of little covering. It's just done in, we're doing this as in memorial, and we're doing it for the present, but we're looking at it also for the future. So if you have no place, if you really honestly have no place to do it, and you, let's say you live in an apartment building, and there's just, you're in, right in the middle of the apartment building, and you have no place. I don't know. You have no place. I mean, that's about the size of it. If you have a yard, or if you have a roof of your own, or if you have a court or some kind of little something next to where you live, I mean, that's all it says. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
Umbrella.
Huh?
An
Go right ahead, Michael. Come back up, come up, Mike. I guess Joe and Nicole, they got their answers. This is Brother Michael. So far, we had Nicole from Australia and Joe from Texas, and now Michael from Canada. Come on up. Michael, your hand is up. Did you want to say something? Can you guys, am I, can you guys hear me?
You have.
Let me see if Michael's. I don't know if Michael could hear me.
I was kind of afraid she was doing that.
Yeah, she is. She, Nicole came in yesterday and said, whenever that happens,
you gotta let us know because we're going right out.
Uh-oh, Michael can't come up. What is this?
Let's all just go
Brother Michael, why don't you go out of the room and then come back in? Leave the room and then come back in. I don't know why you can't come up. That's strange. Go out of the room and then come back in. While Michael, While Brother Michael is going out of the room and coming back in.
In fact, just write it right on the screen.
Why don't somebody else have any questions or comments? Come on up, Al. What's that say? You won't let me.
Yeah, I was remembering that Lulac and Estridge, you know, back in my, when I was visiting this Messianic place, and it was a feast day place too, I certainly remember doing some of these things that, you know, I wondered about. And, you know, so that you brought back some memories. I know that that's practice in Judaism. And, you know, but where does it come from Scripture? That's the number one question. If it belongs with the Scripture, then do it. But if it's not there, it's just probably Judaism. I wanted to also make another comment that I was in the Feast of Atonement, I was studying the Scriptures in that morning. I was reading it over, and just exactly what the high priest had to do that day. And I studied it, and then later on we had a study ourselves online on Pell Talk.
Right.
And then later on after that, I had a videotape on the Atonement that I played back that I, you know, remember from, you know, well, in the 90s, I had this tape. And then when I looked at it, and I seen the guy, his name was some Jewish guy, and he was going over things. He was supposedly reenacting what the high priest does, and I found a lot of things just didn't match what the Scripture had. There's a lot of things out there just don't, you know, they'll say, this is what the high priest did, and then what you read in the Scripture, it's two different things. You'll find that there's little errors thrown in there. And
it's sad.
You know, I guess I'm seeing things, and I wanted to write this outfit back that made this Feast of Atonement tape that I got a while back.
Day of Atonement.
And point out the errors that are in there. Because if that guy was the actual high priest, and all the mistakes that I seen, he wouldn't be around.
Right.
You know, because those mistakes, he would die just for that. Just, you know, just like Aaron's sons had died. You just don't mess around with the word.
That's right. You're correct, Al, 100%, except for it's not a feast of atonement. That's not a feast. It's a day of atonement, a very solemn, holy day. Yeah, a day of making sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. But anyway, I know exactly what you're saying. And it's sad, you know, a lot of Messianics, unfortunately, they just copy Judaism. And a lot of the Gentiles that join these groups, they don't question anything. They just go along with it. Like right now, I'm sure a lot of people did also the Feast of Tabernacles last week or something when the Judaism did it. I see some people even left us already. Some people that used to be with us, as soon as the feast come, they take off. It happens every year. Something about the feast. This separates people. But it cleans house. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Andrew. What's the name for that movie?
Yeah, when I said to you that you wouldn't let me in there, Malachi, that was my fault again. It usually is. I had forgot to unmute myself on Pell Talk, and consequently, I couldn't get through to you. Anyways, could you spell that, or will you get into that tomorrow, about Hog Hagog?
Oh, Hog.
And tell me the meaning of it and spell it for me, or will we do that tomorrow? And when you said 2 o'clock, well, that's 2 o'clock your time, is it? Thank you. And I really am enjoying this. This is all new to me. This is just super duper. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the word is hag. It's like, I would say C-H-A-G and hagag. Hagag. I don't know. I'd have to figure out how to spell that in English. But, yeah, we're going to go over this tomorrow. Maybe I'll look it up. I have it on a lot of websites. Maybe I'll just put it on the study where you'll be able to see it tomorrow. Yeah, and the only reason I'm bringing up all these other things that Judaism is doing, because You know, you might get a book that has these messianic feasts, the seven feasts of the Lord. And there's not seven. There's only three feasts of the Lord. The rest are Mikra Kodesh, the holy convocations, the holy days. But a lot of people don't see that. The reason why there's only three feasts that are important, because there's only three harvests, which is very important, which he was and he is to come. So you have to remember that. There's only three feasts. You understand? There's not seven, but there are seven different events, you can say. I guess you could say that. Seven different events. Some are feasts, some are holy days. And the only reason I wanted you to know all this stuff is because I don't want you to get tainted by any Judaism, because some of that stuff, you know, it looks so cool. They got the robes on and they're holding up the lulav and they're, you know, they're going in all the directions and saying their little prayers. And it's just like the Catholic Church to me. That's why I don't want to do it. Go right ahead.
Yes, Malachi, could you, I must have missed it. I'm trying to pay attention. I really am. What the meaning of Chag or Hagag was, and what also was the meaning of Lulav? Could you explain that to me too, please? Again, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, for the meaning of Lulav, go back to my website, click on the link above, and scroll down, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll look up the Hag for you real quick, but look up the Lulav yourself there, and then we'll go over it. Hang on 1 second. Let me see if I could just, I'll find it for you. I have it on a website, but I could probably just find it right here real quick.
I paid for one of these office fees because I didn't know the first thing about it.
You paid for what?
Yeah, some messianic church was selling, you know, a DVD on all the fees so you can understand God is his feast and there is Christmas. I didn't understand my head from my toe with it. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about.
Well, you know what it is when they sell so many books. They sell so many books and stuff like that, you know.
But you know, we never have been introduced to it, so initially right. All this stuff is very overwhelming.
Oh yeah, well, if you don't know, if you haven't been around Judaism.
Nothing.
And if you haven't been around Messianics,
right.
Then
you were lucky.
You're lucky.
Exactly. I was really lucky. Yeah. I saw the, you know, like the, you know, the armor.
The lulav.
The Torah in the armor.
That's the ark.
Yeah, I know, but it was an armor they put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make something like that with the door.
It is an
armor. It is. But what I'm trying to say is that's not really what it is. That's not.
That's not what they would.
That's not what they wouldn't like you.
Somebody who didn't know anything. That's exactly what it looked like, and that was me.
Right.
I didn't know anything about it, and I listened to it, and I think I was even more confused.
How do we just the
Yes, I can. I'll have to.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'll give you in detail all this information about Chag. Okay, yeah. I'll explain Chag tomorrow, and this way I'll show you on a website. I have it on a lot of websites.
A cyclical reversal, isn't it?
It's something to do with. It's something that goes around in a circle. Yes. Uh-huh. You want to say cyclical? Yes, that'd be good. It's something that happens every year. You know, something that goes round and round and round and round. So, but what it is it's a feast of the Lord. Hag is a feast. And Hagag is the circular thing, you know. It's circular, you know. It's that simple. It just means basically you do it every year until I suspect we tabernacle with the Lord and then you're really going to be there. But anyway, any other questions before we leave tonight? We're not going to be here long. I just wanted to touch upon this because we're going to get up real early tomorrow and go get... What are we going to do the first thing in the morning?
We're going to make our Sukkot.
Yeah. You're going to have a cup of coffee first, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, this is something we do because we're going to show people that God maintained and sustained our relatives that were in the wilderness. We want him to also do that with us in our wilderness called our lifespan. And then we want to do it with him throughout eternity. And it all has to do with the Messiah. It all has to do with the harvest. Okay, does everybody understand all that?
Yeah.
In other words, you may never heard this before. And this would seem like a really big feast if there was picture if everyone was doing it and all the stores advertised the Feast of Tabernacles and they had commercials. You'd go, man, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Everyone would be like, whoa. Just that we live in such a pagan society, no one even knows it. They go, oh, that's Jewish. No, it's not. It's a Feast of the Lord.
Yeah. That's what I told you.
Anyway, praise the Lord. Go ahead, Al. That's pretty funny to me. Okay, Brother Al from Pennsylvania. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I thought I'd make a last comment. Nehemiah, you know, with Judaism today, looking back and thinking that they have the oral law, the Talmud, and they know everything's been passed down. Well, it seems to me when you read Nehemiah, a lot of things weren't passed down too well because they kind of forgot the law. And they started doing their thing, and I believe they even forgot some of the feast there.
Yeah,
something was going wrong with the whole system. So with these traditions that we see today, it seems like they're doing the same thing. They're substituting what the Word of God teaches for their own teaching, and then they're calling it the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? The Talmud is just basically ideas men come up with.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say, Carrie?
I was just saying exactly what you see there. We had another study.
Oh, okay. There's one of the studies right there. Let me respond to Al real quick. I got to get everything out of the way. You're right again, Al. I know Al's been around this kind of stuff. You know, he's been around all these little messianics and Judaism, and everyone's got something different going on. It's pretty sad. If you go to my website and you just put in you put in like Hag, and the way it's, I guess you could spell it like that, Hagag. See that right there? I went to my website. Always go to my website and go to the search, and if you put the search, you know, the little search program that I created, I think it was with Perl or one of those programs. Anyway, you could basically, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And this is from a concordance. So, you know, and basically, even though it's a feast, this is what it says. But it's a prime root, Hagag. And it means to move in a circle, to march in a sacred procession, to observe a festival, by implication to be giddy. In other words, it's supposed to be happy. That don't mean giddy like foolish or anything. It means like supposed to be celebrating the feast of the Lord. And to dance, to, you know, and that's exactly what it means. And that should say holy day instead of holiday. Anyway, that thing about reeling to and fro, I don't know about that. Make sure that you are not doing that. But anyway, but all the concordances have something like that. Any other questions or comments? Okay, it's no more questions or comments. Okay. Everybody online will be around tomorrow, right?
2:00.
We're meeting tomorrow at 2:00 Central Time. And we'll have a nice study for tomorrow. And I'll go through a lot of other things in detail. But the Feast of Tabernacles is on again. And to us, it's exciting because it's a Feast of the Lord. Too bad the world don't know about it. Anyway, let's pray and ask the Lord to dismiss us. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for the people here that you brought to the Feast of Tabernacles. We wish, Lord and God, we pray we can all get together one day and do it all together, knowing one day we will do it with you throughout eternity. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint us as we go home, put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil, protect thy children. Lord and God, bring us back together tomorrow to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, to understand your feast, your holy days, and why we're doing this. Lord and God, bless everyone that's here, everyone that's on the internet, and everyone that's not with us that are keeping your holy days and your feasts. We give you the glory tonight, Yeshua. Father God, we pray that you'll move upon every thought we have in our minds and hearts that's toward you to the advancement of the gospel. Bless and anoint the rest of this evening and bring us back together soon to meet you in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless everyone. I want to say Shabbat Shalom. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. Hag Sukkot. I say Hag Sameach. That means happy holiday. Happy holy day. Not holiday. Anyway, Shalom everyone. God bless you. So I'm going to close this. I'm going to close the audio.